It was almost like the Jewish things of the early, well, say 18th century, something like that, when they had the ghetto.
Yeah.
They had their cultural thing. Here you got the language. It keeps them.
The language itself, really, I believe.
Instant identification.
Right, exactly. I mean, I can very well understand it. My God, you're hurting, and you got to go to a doctor, and you can't tell the doctor what's wrong with you. It's a problem. You go to an English-speaking doctor, and you speak Spanish, and you tell him I'm hurting, and you're pointing everywhere, and he doesn't really, like, know what the problem is. You know, you're going to be there forever. So your best bet is to go to a Cuban doctor.
I've noticed a great deal of the downtown area as, like, most of the businesses have
Latin.
Put up, you know, they always, not only that, but even the ones that don't look Latin, the ones that look, like, established always have a sign on it, say, Hablo Español.
Mm-hmm.
And apparently they're buying competitively for that business, that market.
Well, the saying is that they own downtown Miami.
Oh, yeah.
Really? The Cuban population itself. They settle off of, shall we say, off of Flagler. Flagler Run, see.
Okay.
They're on the east side of
right.
Flagler. So, and in that particular area is heavily Cuban populated or Spanish populated. And so they primarily migrated their stores into that area. But that's not the only area that they've been, shall we say, actually like taken grasp of. There are many sections of Hialeah that are moving out now. It's estimated by less than 10 years from now that 56% of the working force in the Miami area will be Cuban or Spanish.
That's interesting. That is. Well, I had when I was going to junior college in Leesburg, we had a lot of Cubans even up in that, and that's Central Florida, North Central Florida,
mm-hmm.
Between Orlando and Ocala.
Mm-hmm.
I guess you know where Leesburg is.
Yeah.
And my roommate was Cuban. His father was in the Bay of Pigs and the whole thing. And it amazed me that there was that much of a migration at that time. This was back during the missile crisis, or when I was that's when I was in high school, but. There must have been a tremendous influx. So not only that time, but apparently around the 1880s, I guess it was during the Cuban Revolution.
The first time,
it must have been a tremendous influx.
But there were those who came primarily because they wanted to come, and those that came because they were forced out. And Miami seemed very suitable, or the state of Florida, period, seemed very suitable to their particular natural needs.
Climate's pretty much the same.
Particularly.
Yeah.
So. Settled here.
I found out yesterday, I was in your library, I did some research on Miami. I was trying to find out as much as I could about Miami, Tampa, and Key West.
Mm-hmm.
I found out that a Senor Ebo from the Ebo City fame over in Tampa.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Senor Ebo was a guy that had that cigar factory.
Mm-hmm.
He moved it to Tampa, to have a Tampa thing.
Mm-hmm.
And but it was originally in Key West.
Mm-hmm.
And he had a tremendous workforce that came over with him.
Yes.
That settled in this area originally. And this
yes.
was been around 1870, 1880. So there was probably some indigenous population here that...
My grandmother talks about, she celebrated her birthday here the 4th, as a matter of fact. She's a 4th of July baby. We had her over for a birthday party. And she talks about the espresso. The coffee, you know, you could smell the espresso just cooking early in the morning, you know, about the heavy influx of, Cuban in the Key West area particularly. And she talks about that as, you know, as being a little, when she was a little girl down in the Keys.
How old is your grandmother now?
Grammy, she's lying about it, I know. she's 87.
She's been in the area for most of that time?
Yeah, her family moved to Miami, I think. She's the oldest child. I think her family moved here when she was about 10.
And she was from the furthest south?